Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of July 28, 2023. This week we pray for those who are hungry, for the faithful who look to God and are captive in any way. Our first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 7. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you are more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you are the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Our next reading is from Romans chapter 8. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our next reading is from Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. In the reading for our discussion is from Leviticus chapter 4. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, if anyone sins unintentionally in any of the Lord's commandments about things not to be done, and does any one of them, if it is the anointed priest who sins, thus bringing guilt on the people, then he shall offer for the sin that he has committed a bull from the herd without blemish to the Lord for a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord and lay his hand on the head of the bull and kill the bull before the Lord. And the anointed priest shall take some of the blood of the bull and bring it into the tent of meeting. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle part of the blood 7 times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of fragrant incense before the Lord that is in the tent of meeting, and all the rest of the blood of the bull he shall pour out at the base of the altar of burnt offering, that is, at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And all the fat of the bull of the sin offering he shall remove from it, the fat that covers the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them at the loins, and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys, just as these are taken from the ox of the sacrifice of the peace offerings. And the priest shall burn them on the altar of burnt offering. But the skin of the bull, and all its flesh, with its head, its legs, its entrails, and its dung, all the rest of the bull, he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place, to the ash heap, and shall burn it up on a fire of wood. On the ash heap it shall be burned up. If the whole congregation of Israel sins unintentionally, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they do any one of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, and they realize their guilt, when the sin which they have committed becomes known, the assembly shall offer a bull from the herd for a sin offering and bring it in front of the tent of meeting. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord, and the bull shall be killed before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall bring some of the blood of the bull into the tent of meeting, and the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord in front of the veil. And he shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar that is in the tent of meeting before the Lord, and the rest of the blood he shall pour out at the base of the altar a burnt offering that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And all its fat he shall take from it and burn on the altar. Thus shall he do with the bull. As he did with the bull of the sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make atonement for them, and they shall be forgiven. And he shall carry the bull outside the camp and burn it up as he burned the first bull. It is the sin offering for the assembly. When a leader sins, doing unintentionally any one of all the things that by the commandments of the Lord his God ought not to be done, and realizes his guilt, or the sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring as his offering a goat, a male without blemish, and shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of its blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. And all its fat he shall burn on the altar like the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. So the priest shall make atonement for him for his sin, and he shall be forgiven. If any one of the common people sins unintentionally in doing any one of the things that by the Lord's commandments ought not to be done, and realizes his guilt, or the sin which he has committed is made known to him, he shall bring for his offering a goat, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has committed. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and kill the sin offering in the place of burnt offering. And the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. And all its fat he shall remove, as the fat is removed from the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it on the altar for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. And the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be forgiven. If he brings a lamb as his offering for a sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish, and lay his hand on the head of the sin offering, and kill it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour out all the rest of its blood at the base of the altar. and all its fat he shall remove, as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it on the altar on top of the Lord's food offerings, and the priest shall make atonement for him for the sin which he has committed, and he shall be forgiven. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Last summer, I began the task of building a fence. I hand dug all of the holes for the post to a depth of about 3 feet. I tried to do this in the shade as much as possible. When you're doing work like this, you have the potential to get very dirty and dusty. A few times when I was measuring distances, I actually fell in some of the holes that I'd been digging. When you were a kid, this didn't hurt, but it's true. The bigger you are, the harder you fall. You are working in dirt. You are sweating. You get sawdust on you from the treated wood as you are sawing. If you stain the wood, you will get stain on your clothes, so you don't wear your very best. When you go to get cleaned up, you are done. It is a relief to get the dust and dirt off you. It actually is a very good feeling to do such physical work, and then finally to get cleaned up afterwards is even more of a relief. Once you get cleaned up, you do not even want to go outside again in the heat. You don't want to go back out into the dusty workshop. You can feel the difference between clean and unclean. When you first go out there, you may be clean enough, but gradually you get dirtier and dirtier. You don't want to sit on the furniture in the house after that because you would soil it. You might make the furniture dirty and you make the fabric smelly. It's better just to get clean. It is much more relaxing after that. You do so when you have to, but it is not as pleasant to eat your meal when you are filthy. Now consider going to a nice place to eat. You would feel out of place, and people might look at you if you were dirty, if you were unclean, even if you certainly had the means to have your meal there. You certainly wouldn't go to bed that way. That would be miserable. You also would feel very unclean to go to church that way. We want to be clean and dress well when we go to church. Many folks wear their ordinary clothes when they go to church, and we shouldn't look down on folks for doing that, but the reason we dress up to go to church is to present ourselves in the best possible way. As I talk about these things, I'm talking about outside appearance, but we also have an inward presentation as well. What we think, what is in our hearts. A person can look great to the outside world, but be filthy on the inside. Listen to how Jesus spoke of the Pharisees in his time. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outward appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. When we look at Leviticus chapter 4, what we have is legislation. Laws are being laid out for how to deal with unintentional sins. Think of our person that has been out working all day and he goes by church to do something that has been requested by the pastor. In order to do so, he has to walk through a wedding reception and he happens to have very dirty shoes. He tries not to go through there, through the reception, but it is inescapable, and as he is walking through, he accidentally walks over the train of the bride's dress. Accidental things can happen. The intent was not to cause an issue, but there are those dirty footprints on the bride's train. Think of this in regard to our sins. It is possible to disobey God's commands and do so unintentionally, without knowledge. Chapter 4 of Leviticus deals with that issue. As we discuss this chapter, we will only summarize some basic points. This isn't an exhaustive examination. And I have to point out that there are many mysteries in these sacrifices and rites that cannot be fully described. For a full and more thorough explanation, I advise you to go to John Kleinig's commentary on Leviticus.
In his commentary on Leviticus, John Kleinig summarizes the situation. There are four categories of people and sacrifices that will be covered in regards to unintentional sins. For a priest's unintentional sins, a bull was sacrificed. For a chieftain, a male goat was sacrificed. For a member of a flock, a commoner, a female goat, or a male sheep was sacrificed. The sin of the priest also brought guilt on the people, and so they would have to make sacrifices as well to be made clean before God. Blood atoned for sin. A hand is laid on the head of the bull sacrifice, and it is sacrificed at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Blood was brought into the tent of meeting, sprinkled seven times on the veil of the sanctuary, and blood was poured out at the base of the altar. None of the meat was eaten. The sacrifice was about gaining God's favor and being made clean in the presence of God. The kidneys and fat were burned on the altar. The rest was carried outside the camp to a clean place and burned on wood until it was gone. The entire assembly might sacrifice a bull in that instance, with the elders laying their hands on the head of the bull. If, for instance, they had participated in the acts of the priest that had made them unclean as well. With the other sacrifices, they were to be killed at the place of the burnt offering. My understanding here is that this is near the altar of burnt offering. In these ways, those sins were atoned for and the people were forgiven. An animal lost its life for a person. The blood of one creature was substituted for the blood of another. The bull that was sacrificed, the rest of the bull, was to be carried to a clean place outside the camp to an ash heap and burned. I may be wrong, but I'm guessing that is true for what is left of the other sacrifices as well. It mentions in the text how the fat was what was burned on the altar. When we clean items based on what is being cleaned, certain cleaners will thoroughly and completely cleanse an item. Otherwise, it may not be possible to get something completely clean. Blood is the instrument which cleanses a person to be allowed near God's presence. All of this was for unintentional sins. But what about intentional sins? Kleinig pointed out that the sin offering atoned for unintentional sins and some minor sins of commission which were confessed before God. The tax collector in Luke chapter 18 came to seek atonement for deliberate sin as a person excluded and kept out of God's presence. With the performance of the daily burnt offering, he prayed that God would be propitiated toward him as a sinner, and Jesus declared that the man was justified. The dictionary points out that propitiation involved doing something that gained the favor of a god, something that would please the god. Now, we understand there is only one true God, but his favor could never be gained by our acts. We also know that many of our sins are not just unintentional. They are deliberate. We know we are doing wrong, and we do them anyway. So, in regards to our holy God, knowing his favor could not be gained by our acts, that idea comes from Romans chapter 3. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If we use God's name in vain or use filthy language, we know that these are sins, either against God or against our fellow man. We know that Adam and Eve knew what they were doing when they took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know the Israelites knew what they were doing when they worshiped the golden calf, knowing that it was the God of the heavens and the earth that had brought them out of Egypt. And surely they knew they were sinning against God and Moses when they complained regarding the food God gave them in the wilderness and accusing God of bringing them out to die in the wilderness. We can think of plenty of instances where people in Scripture knowingly committed sins, and we know that there are times when we do so as well. You ever do something to your brother or sister only to have them say, "You're dead"? In normal instances, they don't mean that literally, as angry as they are with you, but that is literally our standing in regards to the holiness of God. We are dead in our tracks. We are filthy in God's holy presence as a result of sin, and certainly our inherited sin. We are tainted beyond repair. So we are tainted in our being, in our flesh, and we are tainted by the things that we do when we are disobedient to God. When we repent, how do we attain forgiveness and atone for our sins? That was accomplished once and for all by Christ on the cross. He was sacrificed for our sins outside the temple, outside the city, away from the most holy places in the temple. Yet, his blood atones for all sin. Kleinig believes the unforgivable sin is spurning the Son of God, and I would say that involves doing so until the very end. It is Christ's blood that atones for all our sins, and he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is only through Christ that all our sin is taken away, unintentional and intentional. So to reject Christ is like rejecting the life preserver that is thrown at you when you are struggling in the water. If you want forgiveness, life, and salvation, know that this can be found completely only in Jesus Christ, by his work on the cross, paying for our sins, by his blood shed for us, and by believing fully on his name. And this belief is caused by God's Holy Spirit. If you want forgiveness in life, rely fully on Jesus. He is the only way. On account of Jesus, we are not dead in our tracks, but we are made alive in him. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly come before you asking your forgiveness for all our sins, those which we know and those which we do not know. We pray that you will restore us completely, that we might enter into your presence and be made whole again. We pray it in your holy name, O Lord Jesus. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for people everywhere who are hungry, who look to you for sustenance. We pray for the faithful who look to you and are captive in any way, whether they are in prison or in captivity to sin, to the flesh, or the deceit of the evil one. We pray that those who struggle in the flesh, in the heart, in the mind, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would restore them through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special reading, our special verse, comes from Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
we might also add verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Savior, again, to thy dear name we raise, with one accord, our parting hymn of praise. Once more we bless thee, hear our worship cease. Then lowly bending, wait thy word of peace. Grant us thy peace upon our homeward way. With thee began, with thee shall end the day. Thy peace throughout.